Joining us in studio is Muthana Hanoudi, the Community Relations Director for the Islamic Center of Detroit. And this Wednesday, the center will welcome Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan, the Ambassador of Qatar in Washington, Mr. Bashar bin Hamad Al Thani, who will be hosting the major event. Before the inauguration day, ICD will have a special invitation dinner hosting both the mayor and the ambassador with dignitaries and leaders of Detroit community all on Tuesday, June 20th. The park is located on Detroit's west side, a formerly empty lot named the Belton Mark Twain Park in Detroit's District 7. I want to say thank you so much for joining the show, Mr. Hanoudi.
So much, dear. Appreciate this opportunity.
Yes, yes. So we're going to get into things right now and talk about the Islamic Center of Detroit. Who are you? Who are you all?
Okay, we claim the Islamic Center of Detroit, which was opened in January 2000, became the largest Islamic community service in the state of Michigan. We are the only major center among the almost 20 major ones who focus on the community service. Almost 80% of our work is community service versus 20% on the faith services. And since we happen to be in southeastern Michigan, which is happened to be the most impoverished area in the nation with more than 41% poverty, almost 10% unemployment, so we have a lot of challenges doing the work. Also, the fact that more than 50% of the population of our area, which is District 7, almost 100,000 people, more than 50%, the one we serve, are people of color. So the challenge is more in terms of resources. And that's why we've been in touch with our state and federal officials to seek donations, and also with a lot of charities such as the United Way and Kriski to get funds to operate our services.
So, you know, I didn't grow up too far from the particular area that you all are located in, the Warrendale community, which isn't too far from where you all are. And we think about the things that are happening in all the communities across the country right now, but especially in Detroit. Why is it so important that we have parks popping up in our areas?
See, first of all, there are a lot of lacks to parks. And especially this area, before it became a park, it was like almost a dumping area.
Yeah.
It was a very plain space, a green space. Unfortunately, many used it just to dump their garbage there. So we talked to the mayor and the city to adopt the park. And we did a feasibility study, which entails to $355,000 total cost. And luckily, with the cooperation from the city of Detroit, Wayne County, our generous donors, as well as the state of Qatar, we raised the fund and we opened the park last November. And hopefully in a couple of days, we're going to have the inauguration.
Nice. And, you know, what are some of the things that you've heard so far from your community members and people who have been using been able to use the park since it's gotten warm enough? What have they been saying?
They were so excited. I mean, they didn't believe that a small charity like us, or actually a medium-sized charity like us, and from the Arab and Muslim community, can contribute to that community. The feedback so far is great. And, of course, because of the expanding needs in Detroit, people are asking us for more things. That's why
nice.
We are acquiring a huge, almost 4-acre building in the same area to convert it to a medical clinic. Another big project will cost us up to $10 million. So definitely when people see good work like the park, they also ask for more work, because you can't imagine Detroit without the nonprofit services. You know, they're not in good shape because the government cannot give much, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the services our community get nationwide is from the $500 billion philanthropy business.
Yeah.
So they're excited, but they are, of course, they're looking for more services. And we can talk about it if the time allows us, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, just expand on that, because you talk about the park, and the park is something that's vital and it's important to the community. Get out, getting, you know, it's important to get out and have the kids out running the activity, the parents and families as well. But when we talk about health and medical and different things like that, people of color notoriously have been, you know, not too trusting of medical institutions. So when you talk about building something like this in conjunction with the park, of course, why do you think that this is something that you can get funded and get started and really get built?
See, again, we have the most impoverished people in the state and in the nation, and the needs are everywhere, you know. So, for instance, our center, which is the Islamic Center of Detroit itself, the main building, we have like 3-4 buildings. I'm talking about the headquarters at 14350 Retirement. We offer a weekly food pantry. We offer daily senior citizens hot meals. We offer mental health. You know, we have a lot of, especially after the pandemic, people with suffering with suicidal thoughts, depression, stress, you name it. We offer a lot of services to the youth. That's why we acquired the Fairlane Club, which hopefully we're going to open soon. Cost us almost $8 million. And the whole Fairlane Club, though it's in Dearborn, but it's going to be open for the public, Detroit and Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. And the whole center is for the youth. It's like an upscale athletic center. So we have a host of many, many services. Besides, by the way, financial services, because the other issue we have recently, especially after the pandemic, a big wave of immigrants came from areas like Afghanistan, Yemen, Syria, Iraq, who were torn by violence and wars. And we find ourselves that they need a lot of services because the government cannot give a lot, especially our federal government. So we ended up having services like food, like even financial assistance. People need money to pay for the rents, for you know, electricity, etc. But of course, we provide emergency, like, you know, once a year. We cannot do it in a consistent way, like it's emergency. But anyway, there's a lot of host of services. The major ones at this point is the food, the weekly, because we noticed after the pandemic, food insecurity is a huge problem, huge problem. And of course, again, it's open for the public. We cannot discriminate against ethnicity or faith, or, you know, it's open for the public.
I love that. So you talked a little, you jumped into it, you talked about it. We have that bridge there. Once again, I talk about, I grew up in the bridge of Detroit, Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, that community there where there are so many different cultures and backgrounds of people living and religions living in one space and place. We talked a little bit earlier about Black Muslims and being one of the largest populations in the country. And that's not something that I even knew until you told me today. So, you know, being in the community that I grew up in and seeing everything that I saw, that was not something that I relatively saw on a regular basis was a Black Muslim family or Black Muslims in general. Give us the rundown of why that is.
Okay. Of course, we all know that Islam is nothing new in this country. Islam came with the inception of this nation, with millions of slaves who came from West Africa. So Islam has been here for 400, 500 years. And because many, many African-American were Muslim by faith when they were Africa, they reverted to Islam, not converted, they reverted to the faith. So that's why we have, I don't remember the percentage, 20, 25% of the American Muslims in America who are almost 1.5%. are African American. And the other thing that as a Muslim community nationwide, the largest alliance by default when it comes to the civil rights are the African American. When it comes to the faith, are African American. Even when it comes to the Arab world, which represent almost 450 million people in the Middle East or the so-called Arab world, half of the Arab world are African, which is basically from North Africa. So our relationship is unique, and we have an opportunity to advance and elevate this relationship through our sisterhood, brotherhood, and through these alliances in terms of even services to the community. And of course, you have that's why we happen to have national leaders and donation from the African American community, namely Muhammad Ali,
yes,
and many athletes, you know. So that's why we use this name for the park, just to remind the public that this this man, though he happened to be African, but also he's American Muslim. So our relationship with the African American is unique. That's why it is a golden opportunity to be in Detroit and to serve, so we can elevate this relationship.
We are chatting with Muthana Hanouti, the Community Relations Director for the Islamic Center of Detroit. And I just want to say thank you for being with us this afternoon, but continuing on about the Muhammad Ali Park that's up right now. You're going to have the big inauguration and ribbon cutting coming up this week, Wednesday. But we talk about Muhammad Ali and his legacy and what he stood for. So many of us know, of course, that he's a boxer, but I think a lot more of us are starting to know more about his activism and what he stood for personally versus what he did as a boxer. The importance of that reality, can we get into that longevity of that history of what he did and how it continues to, as clearly as with the park naming, how it continues to influence us?
CT, as a minority, we represent only like 1.5% in the nation, maybe 4 million people. The biggest challenge we have as a community is the civil rights or racism.
Yeah.
So definitely Muhammad Ali is one of the big leaders we learn from when it comes to that. And of course, besides Muhammad Ali, we have Malcolm X, you know, who's for us is a great, you know, Muslim leader who taught us as Muslims in America how to build this civil rights business. Of course, we add to them people like Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks. I mean, all those leaders, they are become by default our mentors when it comes to the civil rights, which is the biggest issue Muslim Americans have, especially after 9/11 and after the Muslim ban during the Trump era. So we've been suffering tremendously as our brothers and sisters from the African American community and Latinos. So that's why we need those figures to learn from, and also to teach our community to ally with those people who happen to be part of our faith, and also they happen to be our mentors. Civil rights issue, again, or human rights issue for American Muslims is a big one, because of that, for instance, we created a major civil rights group, for instance, called Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE. Because of the lessons we learned, you know, and this was like in 94. And for instance, I just came back from Washington last week. We are under an umbrella called United States Council of Muslim Organizations. We have an annual day of advocacy. Mm-hmm. Last week, 600 leaders from all over more than 20 states gathered in Washington to advocate for more than 200 offices in the Congress. That just happened last week, to advocate the civil rights issues. Yeah. So the civil rights issues is a huge thing for our community, and a huge agenda. And again, our mentors when it comes to that and our ally are the African American community,
yes,
nationwide.
And, you know, we talked about it just now. You talked about going to Washington, D.C., having the conversation in such a mass way. What can the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan, as we're talking locally, what can our government do in order to push this conversation forward when we talk about civil rights and equity and inclusion?
Yeah. See, basically, we need to go back to the pictures of philanthropy business in America. According to the Giving USA, which is the largest research house for philanthropy business in America, in 21, the last statistics was issued in 2021, almost $500 billion were given by Americans, let alone the government. The government, that's something else. I'm talking about the public. I noticed only 67% of those donations came from individuals. Yeah. When I look at the corporations, it's only $20 billion. It's only 4%, which is so sad. So one of the struggles we have is getting money from the corporations.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sound like political or partisan, but that's a fact.
Yeah.
They are the least givers. So at this point, we get our money. For instance, the ICD or the Islamic Center of Detroit, we're getting like almost $2 million on average donations from the general public.
Yeah.
And the rest of $6 or $8 million we get from the state of Michigan and the other charities.
Yeah.
So what we are asking the state, the city doesn't give funds, but the state and the federal, we always ask them to give for Detroit, because Detroit, from my experience for the few years I worked in Detroit, it is so neglected, and the issue when it comes even to donations is so politicized. You know, of course, we as a humanitarian organizations, we have nothing to do with ideology. We have nothing to do with the partisan battle in Washington. We need to help the people. And, as you know, Detroit's populations have been decreasing. Now as we have 600,000 or 700,000 people only. So that's why from our end, we're trying to attract the Muslim community, especially the immigrants, to move to Detroit, move their businesses, move their houses, because it's much more convenient than the other cities. You have a lot of houses they can purchase and fix. Business is beautiful. I mean, we have a beautiful experience around our area.
Yeah.
And you can tell if you visit our area, it's flourishing.
Yes.
Because a lot of people we invited, they moved to. So again, the call, and we always, by the way, in touch with our mayor, who is very big, Mr. Mike Duggan, is very supportive. We are in touch with our state rep, Karen Whitsitt, with our state senator, Sylvia Santana, with our state congresswoman, Rashida Tlaib. I think they're doing a great job, but still we need more.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that is all that I have for you today. But before we let you go, I want you to talk about one more time the park and everything that's happening this week. So for those who want to know, want to be there and celebrate, let us know.
Thank you so much, Tia. It's a great opportunity to tell you about this beautiful project.
All righty then. Well, we were speaking with Muthanna Hanouti, the Community Relations Director of the Islamic Center of Detroit. Hopefully we'll catch up with you sooner than later so we can get lowdown on what's going on with the new medical center that you all are going to try to build.
Sure, just wait for 2 years.
Okay.
December 25 will be done.
All right, yes. Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure.